Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors Studio, catching his breath. Sean Carey here with you, too. And you can follow us.
That's just me breathing.
That's good. Got to breathe.
I mean, I just say that just to depress the audience. Geez, he's still breathing. Great to have you with us. I know we have Adam Rittenberg today. I believe we have an author today, right?
Yes, we do. At 4:06, his name is Ron Lippick, and he runs the Daily E newsletter, Pittsburgh Sports Daily, and author of the book called Steelers Takeaway. And he has had the opportunity to interview grand total 400 current and former Steelers players for the book.
You know, and we also have Neil Coulong today too. Friday's show is the last hour. We will be picking not only the standard games that we pick, we're still going to do our standard picks, but then we're also going to pick all 40 bowl games.
I'm glad you told me that. I wasn't sure if the 40 bowl games canceled out the pros. So
No. We're gonna put the pro. We have to keep. Well, you pick, seven pro games. Put the seven pro games in there, and then we'll keep that as our standard record, and then we'll do the bowl thing as a separate thing.
Okay. Well, I'll go through the list for the pros and get them to your brother.
Yeah, make sure Kevin gets that.
Okay.
And the suit, the two-time defending champion, which brought with it really no glory at all, but still at least a sense of bragging and pride. How about that?
Yeah, not much communication between he and I today, so I think this is starting to get real.
What, do you think he's gone to some bunker? I mean,
the mind games are starting down the hall.
Let me put it to you this way.
Mm-hmm.
I've only done research on one game.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of research on St. John's basketball, Morgan State basketball, Northwestern basketball, and USC football and Michigan basketball. Those are my next five games. Okay, that's all the research I've done. Okay, I have basics on games. Games, by the way, I will watch several of these games. Only just for the pure enjoyment of just sitting there and taking in a game. Now, maybe it'll be a half a quarter. Maybe it'll be a full quarter. Some of these games, maybe I'll go all the way through on them. There'll probably be a dozen of them I'll watch in their entirety. The others I'll get a little bit here, a little bit there, but I enjoy this. I enjoy watching the bowl games and getting a chance to see a college football game literally every night of the week. Now, maybe part of it is based on my schedule because I'll get catch as catch can as I go along during the course of a season. You know, now here's a chance for me where I've got, let's see, I've got a game Sunday. And believe it or not, Saturday's a travel day. I'm going to be at Bloomsburg University Saturday morning. Do you know that?
Oh, that's right. You had mentioned to me that the team's going to be practicing en route
practicing,
to New York.
Practicing at Bloomsburg on Saturday morning.
Yep, since because of commencement.
They can't practice here because of commencement. And they don't get a game Sunday. Okay. Well, then Monday is, there'll be practice here. I mean, I've got, there's bowl practice to go to on Monday. I've got that. And then they're practicing Tuesday morning here. But Monday, I've got, nothing really going on at that point in the evening. I've got nothing going on Tuesday. I think there's one bowl game in the afternoon on Monday. But like Tuesday evening, nothing. Now, Wednesday, I've got a game, but that game on Wednesday next week is at 5 o'clock. Well, I'll be done by 7:30, 8 o'clock. Then I got the talk show after that on Thursday, but then nothing after that. And then Friday, after we're done with the show here on the 23rd, I'm going to kick back and watch football for a while, put my feet up and wait for my two sons to get here and my grandson to reappear here. Ooh, he's here. And they'll get here, and we'll fire up some pizza, some beverages, and we'll just watch the games together for a little bit and just talk and have fun. And, Christmas Eve is Christmas Eve. We'll go to Mass on Christmas Eve, and then then we'll watch the Steeler game and whatever. I don't know whether we'll watch the Steeler game's on Christmas Day. That's right. Whatever game is on Christmas Eve, we'll watch. I think there's the Texans are playing Christmas Eve, right? I think it sounds right. I think the Texans are playing the Bengals or something like that. And and there's the Hawaii Bowl, and I'll watch a little bit of that. Christmas Day, the Steeler game will be on. I'll watch all of that. It'll be 4:30 in the afternoon. And then I get to the 26th. And of course, 26th, we've got the day off. Sean kept saying, I want to work. And I said, look, I'm too lazy. I want the day off, and Sean went to management, and they checked the time cards and realized I've been showing up every day, so they gave us the day off. and then the 27th, I got another game here. The 28th, 29th, and 30th, I don't have anything going on. Anything. We'll do the shows, obviously, but I'm talking about in the evening, nothing, because I don't leave for the Rose Bowl till the 31st. Which is the early Saturday morning I leave on the 31st.
Yeah, before we had Kim Jones on yesterday, she was asking me when the team was leaving for Pasadena.
I think it's the 27th on Tuesday. I think it's the 27th they're leaving. I know he has to do something official out there late on the 27th, but remember, there's a time change. When they tell you that the event takes place at 4 o'clock, it's actually 7 o'clock in the East. And then, they're taking a charter flight out. And it's the same thing with us. I mean, I'm going the 31st. I'm taking a charter flight out. Because then it gets really busy for me. I mean, 31st, I fly out. The 2nd, I do the game. The 3rd, I've got to fly from L.A. to Detroit. And I've got a game on the 4th at Chrysler Arena Ann Arbor. Come back to State College with the basketball team. That's how I get back into State College, actually, with the basketball team. Then I got the talk show on Thursday night. And then on Friday night, I got to go to Philadelphia because I got a game at 1 o'clock at the Plaster. So I've got Los Angeles, Detroit, and Philadelphia all in the span of six days. In 6 days, I mean, that's what I've got: Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. So that'll be really busy. So I'm going to kick back and just enjoy the evenings on bowl games and things like that. I'm going to watch the games. You may say, that's a lousy game. I'm still going to watch the game just because I want to watch a game. Just want to. The whole family will be here. The idea is we're going to try and have a blast here. I think everybody knows without saying it, and most of you fall into the same category too, so I'm not... same thing. I think I have not had back-to-back days off since the first week of August. So, and I've had one day off, period, since the second week of August. So I'm going to get three in a row off. And believe me, I'm going to be very hard to find. Unless my golf clubs come in. My 4-iron or my 5-iron. Then they'll be able to find me then. It's like, you guys owe me, man. And I'm not taking golf clubs to California. I'm not doing that. All right, we're not going to do that. Jack and I talked about it, and the window's too tight. The only time we could actually go would be the first. So. All right, we have Neil Coulong today. Author Ron Lippick from Pittsburgh Sports Daily on his book. I assume Jack's one of the guys he interviewed of the 400 current and former Steelers. And then we'll have Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com in the final half hour. Sounds like a plan. And then the big bowl pick'em extravaganza coming up on Friday at this hour. The suit, who should be doing digital sales, is researching Middle Tennessee State.
Actually, just stopped in the studio quick to say hi.
Of course he did. Of course he did. Right? You should ask him every time, why are you here? Why are you in the building? Aren't sales better face-to-face?
You would think.
Oh.
That's what my sales manager told me when in my 16-month time in newspaper advertising about it was a little over 10 years ago, he said the same thing.
What bothers me is he'll walk up to people and say, did you see the movie Jason Bourne? No, I was too busy selling. Oh, no, I just saw it in the theater this morning. Now, I'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Happy holidays to all of you. And if you're saying, okay, now wait a minute. Now, you know, people are back to saying Merry Christmas again. Well, as I say, Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas, and Happy Hanukkah. When I say Happy Holidays, I mean to everybody who celebrates the season. You know, I don't want to just say Merry Christmas and exclude the great people who celebrate Hanukkah. Okay, so that's why. So, to all of you, enjoy the holiday season. It'll be terrific. Looking forward to it very, very much. Sean has big plans. Big plans.
To look a lot like Christmas. Really kind of started to hit me last night since we had a touch of snow there after sundown last night.
We had 4 inches here. Believe that? We had 4 inches of snow here last night.
Friday night into Saturday, we could have a little more around here. AccuWeather will keep tabs on that for us.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. I'm going to travel on Saturday. So they're like, really? Really? This is terrific. Can't wait. But this time I'll be on a bus. I'm not driving this time. I drove Saturday. Actually, I drove Friday night, and I think I got there like 9:30 at night. Because, I mean, I didn't leave right away. I think I didn't leave till like 6. And I got there like a 9:30 or some number like that. And it's the same thing driving back. I stopped at the... I don't think which Valero I stopped at. It's pretty close to Danville. I stopped in there and got some gas. I thought, better do this because I'm calculating. I'm thinking to myself, I'll run out of gas at Mile Run. Mile Run's not a good place to run out of gas.
Oh my God. I've been saying that since 95.
To all the great people who live in that area,
we love you.
Okay, we do love you, but there's nothing out there.
Mile marker 199. Who's counting?
Ooh, boy. Oh, I don't believe you. Because I'm calculating in my head. I'm like, okay, let's see. This would probably get me to mile marker 200 on my gas gauge. I think we better pull over here. That's a good spot. And it was cold out there on Saturday night. But, yeah, I saw the forecast, and the forecast is calling for some snow. And, wow. So. It actually kind of like a wintry mix. So stay tuned. AccuWeather will keep us up to date and everything. So on Friday night into Saturday. Now, I still have to pick out a Christmas tree. I don't have one yet. Now, we have an artificial tree up in our family room, which I put the lights on, and Kathy did a great job at decorating it.
Ah, multi-tree home. There you go.
Yes. Yeah, we do. Now, we put the artificial one in the family room, put the real one in the living room. And, yeah, because you've been to my house before.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know the layout. And so, I put white lights on that thing, and then she put ribbon around it. It doesn't need any other ornaments. She did such a great job on it. Well, we still have to get a real tree because she insists that if we get it too soon, it'll dry out. Well, we still don't have it yet. Now, part of this is, of course, my schedule. I've been away every weekend. I'm away this weekend, too. But I mentioned that maybe we ought to go Friday morning to get it. Because the place that we go to stops selling them on Tuesday. Well, on Friday morning, it's going to be 9 degrees. Now, admittedly, we do not go out into the field anymore and cut them down. We go up to the area with the fence and go, let's see what they got here. Hopefully we can make that process quick, painless, to the point, and gone.
Where ceilings grow. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I talked to Mark Lawrence yesterday about us possibly airing some best of segments of the Steve Jones Show.
Okay.
And his response was, did you have any? Okay.
Like, what? See, Kim Jones yesterday. Mike Reed back in September.
I can't.
Come on, man.
Yeah. We did not talk yesterday, so it's an on-air joke. It's like all the suit jokes I tell. Most of it, well, some of it actually does happen. this day in sports history, the first table tennis tournament was held in London. The suit's relatives broadcast it. 1952, the Brooklyn Dodgers signed pitcher Sandy Koufax. Wild in his early years. Wild, I mean, in terms of his inability to have great control. But once he got control of his fastball and then mixed in his curveball, there were moments where he was unhittable. 1984, Howard Cosell retired from NFL Monday Night Football. Great story about on a tragic night. When the night John Lennon was killed on, December 8th, 1980, I want to say, that John Lennon was shot and killed outside of the Dakota in New York. And they got the news. And this, of course, was a time where news moved a lot slower. And they had it. And Cosell had it. And they went to a commercial break. And Cosell, normally very sure of himself, he's the guy with the journalistic chops and the whole thing. He always told everybody, you guys were in the jockocracy, I had the journalistic chops. Okay? So he always portrayed himself. They have uncovered a recording during the commercial break, because they had the mics open, because John Smith was lining up for a field goal to try and tie the game for the Patriots down in Miami against the Dolphins. And in the break, Cosell wants Frank Gifford's opinion as to whether they should run with this. And Gifford says, absolutely. He said, well, yeah, you know, this, we got this kick coming up that could tie the game and the whole thing. He said, look, we'll take care of the kick. He said, and as soon as it's over, boom, we got to go in. We've got to tell the world this as what happened. This is awful. And Cassell says, geez, are you sure? He says, I'm absolutely sure. That's how we need to handle it. So Cassell calls down to the truck, and he says, hey, I just talked to Frank, and Frank thinks we ought to handle it this way. And you know what? I think Frank might be right about this. And they come out. John Smith misses the kick. And Frank Gifford makes an extremely smooth segue into the tragedy. And Cassell then breaks the news that John Lennon has been shot and killed. And that is a story I think a lot of people never realized, because that in that moment shows the respect and the fact that Frank Gifford, everybody will tell you, normally Frank Gifford was the coolest cat out there all the time. All the time. He was always the coolest cat. And there was one of those moments where Cassell relied on that, which is interesting because it seemed like Cassell didn't rely on anybody but himself, at least it seemed. 1988, CBS won the exclusive rights to Major League Baseball for $1.1 billion from 90 to 94. Jack Buck was the play-by-play guy. Then Sean McDonough late was the play-by-play guy. And 1997, Barry Sanders ran for more than 100 yards in his 13th consecutive game. And 1998, Jerry Rice caught a pass against the Lions. It was his 191st consecutive game with a reception. How about that? That's something else. All right, Neil Coulong joins us to talk about the Steelers. Neil, in the snow at Buffalo, played really, really well. How much better are they getting?
Yeah, you know, more than anything, and we've talked about this a few times, the steadily improving offensive line, I think, is really driving a lot of the success that the Steelers have had. And it's gotten better and better each game. The issue with the opponent aside, I mean, it didn't really look like Buffalo had much going for it in that game. But Pittsburgh absolutely took advantage of it. I mean, they really stepped on their throats right from the start. I mean, Le'Veon Bell's performance certainly, you know, it merits the praise for him that you'd think that it would, 298 yards from scrimmage. But the offensive line was really getting after it. And I think from where they were at that middle point in the season when they went on that four-game losing streak, for that to see them playing the way they are right now, I think is really encouraging.
Give me an idea of the feel that Bell has, not only for the game itself, but the feel he now has for his offensive line.
Yeah, you know, that really is the key thing. And you and I went over that last week as well. It got even better this week. I think
yeah.
He's really found the rhythm that we're used to seeing him play at. And it's coming at a perfect time for the season because, you know, just certainly with the weather, this is the time of the year that you need to be able to run the ball if you want to succeed. And the Steelers have been, in the last couple of years, an excellent December football team. But they're probably going to have to win some combination of two out of their last three games in order to make it to the postseason. And from there, if you have a player like Bell playing the way that he is now, you've got a shot against anybody. And I think all of it is coming together for him. It's coming together for the offensive line that really is they're improving despite, you know, a guy like Ramon Foster going down and B.J. Finney having to make a spot start against Buffalo. Putting all that together and still seeing Bell find the angles that he's looking for, you really feel a symmetry between all of them.
All right. Now, something else we've discussed before. It's probably hard to tell from the Buffalo game because of the snow and everything, but are they any better off at that opposite wideout from Antonio Brown at this stage?
I think what we're seeing really is that opposite position is running almost purely go stuff. They're not really utilizing deep crosses or deep posts as much as I think we're used to seeing it when either Martavis Bryant or Marcus Wheaton were in those spots, or even Darius Heyward-Bey. And those are kind of some of the limitations that they have to deal with. But what they are doing is running a lot of them deeper with Darius Green. He's getting, I think, more targets than I thought he was going to get this late in the season, not having been active for so long. But he's helping, take the pressure off of Antonio Brown a little bit, and it's helping Ben Roethlisberger spread the ball around a little bit more effectively. So I think they're making up for it, not from the second wideout as much, Green really patrolling that middle of the field, taking those deeper, 12 to 15 yard seam and crossing routes. And they're really running Kobe Hamilton, by and large, outside the numbers, trying to get him one or two big play opportunities a game. And Eli Rogers, he can play into the underneath stuff as well. I think they've found a new sense of dynamic ability within the offense that they have. They're not trying to be something they are not anymore, which I think they kind of needed some time to figure out what they were going to do without Wheaton in there, without Hayward Bay in there. And I think they found something that's really working now, and the results are getting better each week.
Artie Burns now has 3 interceptions this year. We know in terms of a pure athletic talent, he's an excellent athlete playing in the secondary. Are you seeing signs that he's making strides to be a defensive back that is also a great athlete?
I think he's getting to that point. The interception that he had, I thought, was this one was kind of a gimme, but the one that he had the previous week had a little bit more skill to it. This just seemed to be kind of a miscommunication between Tyrod Taylor and whoever the receiver was. But Burns saw it, and he made a play on the ball. And not to make the easy joke, but it really wasn't that long ago the Steelers cornerbacks should have the ball thrown right at him, and they wouldn't intercept it.
Right.
The fact that his hands are at least sticky and he's making a play on the ball, and he continues to, he's going to struggle. He's going to have limitations. He's going to see eventually here a better quarterback and a better receiver combination. It tests him a little bit, stretch him a little bit more. But back from the preseason until now, the one thing with Burns that we have seen is, despite the limitations, he has found a way to get his hand on the football. And that, I think, has been sorely missing in Pittsburgh among their secondary for years now. And the fact that he's able to do this with limited experience. I mean, this really, theoretically for a cornerback, your rookie year is going to be by far and away your worst. That they're always going to improve considerably over time. That's why you have so many veteran cornerbacks. When you get to about year 5, year 6, that's when they're really at their best. Burns has a way to go, I think, to get to, being a high-level NFL cornerback. But what we've seen right now is certainly much better than many of the cornerbacks the Steelers have brought in recent years early in their career. So you have to be kind of encouraged about that. But we'll be bemoaning him before the season is over, I'm sure. He's not quite there yet.
It seems like the NFL did not take long to debunk Steelers deflating footballs. At least that seems that, from my point of view, like they just got rid of it as quickly as they could.
Yeah, what was interesting about that to me is it goes back to the original kind of initial aftermath of Deflategate. And really, it got to a point where you could almost hear New York just saying, as in the NFL offices, just saying, how do we make this go away? And how do we make this not happen again? Okay, we're going to go after Tom Brady, then fine. In the meantime, this is the process. This is what's being followed. I don't care if anyone finds anything else. If our guy doesn't find it, it didn't happen. And that's the end of it. It took the NFL all of an hour and a half to issue a statement along those lines after news broke that the Giants had something of interest in the inflation level of the footballs that they used in that game. They basically said, no, you know what? We tested it. This is what we're going by. That's it. Done. Forget it. I don't want to talk about this again. And I don't blame them. It really, this was a political, charge by Roger Goodell to get the Patriots caught in the act for years and years of them kind of towing the line between what's allowed and what isn't. He wanted to send a message specifically to every owner that they're not above it either. They've been screwing around. We caught them this time. That's it. Granted, the evidence doesn't really play out that they had much of anything to go on, but Goodell was going to send a message, and after that, they're not going to deal with this matter ever again, because all they're going to say is, this is our process. We tested it. Done. Forget it.
Right, exactly. 4 NFL games in London next year, Neil. 1 in Mexico. Is this good for the game, in your opinion?
I don't think it's really bad for the game. I mean, it's on one hand of thinking, it gets difficult to have Cleveland, Jacksonville, and Los Angeles continue to go overseas to represent the NFL simply because they're teams that aren't very good. Europeans aren't foreign to the concept of a quality football team. They know the Jaguars aren't any good. They know the Browns aren't any good. You have to get the higher market teams to be able to do it. I'm not really sure they're doing it with Arizona, with Minnesota. A team like the Dallas Cowboys, the Pittsburgh Steelers, you have a tougher time wanting to convince them to give up a home game, and the only teams that are really willing to do that are going to be like the Jaguars that have connections to London. The location that they're in kind of seems to fit with that. They've been over there before. Mm-hmm. They can build up something of allegiance, so it makes sense. But then what you're left with is the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be drafting in the top five once again by the end of this season. I don't think it's a bad idea per se. It's going to kind of irritate the players a little bit. I think the quality of the stadium that they're playing is a little bit different than what we're looking at, although they're going to have a new one, I hear, in 2018.
Yeah,
so they're kind of riding out the storm now.
Yeah.
But top to bottom, I don't think it really matters so much. I think people that get that upset about it, I don't understand what you're really arguing about outside of the fact that the NFL wants to kind of grow its global market share. And I don't think any responsible business would avoid that without good reason. And so in this case, continue to grow it. I think it's a nice novelty, but in the end, I don't think it really has much of an effect right now either way. Maybe in 20 years, but those are the bricks they're laying now.
Right. Yeah, Tottenham, by the way, will get it starting in 2018 on a yearly basis. Bengals coming up on Sunday. Your thoughts on the matchup?
This is the big one as far as the intensity that was left on the field in the playoffs last year. Now you have Le'Veon Bell back. Now you have Vontaze Burfict back. This is going to be the emotional one. The Bengals really don't have a ton to play for outside of trying to end Pittsburgh's season as much as they can, like they wanted to do last year. They're going to want some payback. I think Cincinnati's actually played much better football the last couple weeks, so I think this is going to be a really intense, really physical game. What we really wanted to see back in week two when Burfict and Bell were both out. I think we'll see much more of that this time, and it's a game that frankly, the Steelers really should treat like a playoff game. They have to keep the intensity going, and they need to keep the pressure on Baltimore to have to come to Pittsburgh to play on Christmas Day to keep their season alive.
Always a pleasure. Appreciate it, Neil, very much.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong joining us to talk about the Steelers. Next half hour, an author who's talked to 400 current and former Pittsburgh Steelers. Final half hour, Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Santa, all of these wish lists say they want a new Kia.
No worries, Jingle. It's the Holidays Hot Off Sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Kia can fill everyone's wish list with a new Kia. It's Kia's Holidays on Us sales event. Just listen to this gift from Sunbury Motors Kia. No payments until May.
You heard right, May.
Plus 0% financing for up to 66 months on all 2017 Fortes and Serranos. And all remaining 2016 Optima and Optima Hybrids. Plus 2016 Optimas and Optima Hybrids also have $500 bonus cash. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So go ahead, overspend on presents for the family, because you'll still be able to get a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia.
The holidays are on us
at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Warranty is limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailers or go to kia.com.
It's the time of the year where everybody's trying to fill space. For example, top 50 players in the bowl games. ESPN put together a commission, a panel of 10 writers. And in the top 50, only one Penn State player made it. Saquon Barkley was number 35. I'm trying to think. Somebody did something, the 10 best games of the 2016 season. Penn State, Ohio State did not make the list. And then they put together the 10 worst games of the season. Well, Penn State didn't have any games that made that list either. They said NC State beating Notre Dame 10-3 in the Hurricane. Hurricane Matthew was the worst. Florida beat Vanderbilt 13-6. That was number two. UConn beat Virginia 13-10. That was number three. Memphis beat Kansas 43-7. That was four. Michigan beat Rutgers 78-0. That was five. Wake Forest beat Tulane 7-3. That was six. Despite the fact that Tulane had Wake Forest's game plan, that's a different story. We'll talk about that later. Iowa beat Minnesota 14-7. Colorado beat UCLA 20-10. I saw some of that game, too. Texas San Antonio beat Rice 14-13. They said Auburn beat Arkansas 56-3. They said those are the worst games of the year. I picked Arkansas in that game. Remember that? Remember, I picked Arkansas.
You did.
Yep, that was just a moment of inspired genius.
We'll find out if we pick Arkansas on Friday.
Arkansas's driving me nuts.
Navy was driving me nuts, and the Seattle Seahawks driving your brother nuts.
Well, good. Put more Seattle games on there.
Okay.
All right. Coming up in the next half hour, we'll talk with Ron Lippock, Pittsburgh Sports Daily. And he is interviewed for his book, 400 Current and Past Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll talk to him after the top of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Route 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.